Hey everyone, what's up? It's your girl Nakia, and welcome to the Fearless Kia podcast. Hey everyone, it's your girl Fearless Kia. I am doing a special Fearless chat this week because it is the end of the first month of 2019. We have all set our goals, our visions, our action plans on how we are going to attack 2019, right? We are coming for everything. We are claiming our blessings this year. And one of the goals that I am claiming for myself, because January has already shown me that you need to stay ready. So you ain't got to get ready. And when I say that, I mean stay ready when it comes to my finances. So my sister has been calling me on the phone saying, you need to take care of your financial health. You know, I've had a situation this year already where both of my roommates are leaving out of my apartment. And I'm trying to figure, oh my God, how am I going to fill these rooms before, you know, the lease starts next month and I can't afford this apartment on my own. But I don't, you know, have any money stacked in order to cover the rent for the month because, like she said, I wasn't taking care of my financial health. If I look at, you know, you have your body, is your body in good health? My financial health is probably, you know, suffering a serious illness right now, and I need to make sure that it gets the antibiotics that it needs in order to, you know, re-up and be back in a good health. And so with that being said, I wanted to do this podcast specifically because I was talking about this last week on my Instagram, and a lot of people responded about me paying off my debt by April 2019. So I wanted to do a podcast on financial health and how we can improve our financial health in 2019, at least try to get in a great place so that we, when a rainy day comes or shit hits the fan, are you still a fan, you'll be able to have coins stacked up to take care of yourself and make sure that you're covered. So the first thing I want to talk about is, what is financial health? Financial health is a term that's used to describe the state of one's personal financial situation. There are many dimensions to financial health, including the amount of savings you have, how much you are setting away for retirement, and how much of your income you are spending on fixed or non-discretionary expenses. So this is really doing an audit of your finances, your 401k, your IRAs, whatever, if you have CDs, whatever you have your money stacked, and wherever your financial income is coming, your salary, your living expenses, really doing a financial audit to figure out where your net worth is, where your liabilities are, and how to set a monthly budget so that you can start to pay down those liabilities so that you can start to increase your net worth and you can start to save. So with that being said, one of the things that I like to do, one of the tips and tricks that I like to do, is print out all of my bank statements from the previous year, so 2018, and go through with a highlighter and really line through where I'm spending significantly amount of money on something that is a want and not necessarily a need. For instance, Uber's convenience. I spent a lot of money on the convenience of something versus something that I actually need. And so I ended up going in a financial deficit because I'm spending money in places that are not helping me, you know. So the convenience of me not having to walk to the train and get on a train at 8 o'clock at night and waiting for the train to come for 20 minutes when I can just take an Uber. It's going to save me right there in 5 minutes across the way in Brooklyn. That is what always kind of kills me, right? That's my pain point. So now I have to be more conscious of that. I have to say, okay, if I'm going to spend or Lyft an Uber, maybe I need to put a certain amount of money aside and say, okay, this is going to be on top of my monthly MTA card. This is going to be my Uber Lyft fund for the month. Once it is tapped, it is tapped. Sis, you better get the walk in. You better get the wait in for the train. So that's just an example, but really examining where you are spending a lot and where can you cut costs. I can say that I probably spent $600 to $800 probably on Ubers, like, in a year. That's ridiculous. Night debts. Ridiculous. Probably more, to be honest. I haven't gone through all my big statements yet, but that's ridiculous. And that's $800 that could have been in my savings. So you really have to do the tough work and peel back the layer and say, ooh, this is going to hurt to see how I've been spending, but I need to know how I've been spending so I can improve my financial health. So another thing I will say, so the first thing is know your net worth and do your monthly budget. Really take into account everything you're spending your monthly budget on and making sure that you're only spending about 30 to 35% on living expenses. If you're spending more than that, you may need to reevaluate because there's no way that you're going to be able to have an emergency fund, save, put money into retirement, think about, you know, these future things that you want, whether it's a car, a house, building a family, getting engaged, whatever it may be, you know, or getting married and starting a family, and you spend in majority of your money, 50% or more, on living expenses. That's not realistic. You know, you really have to start to fine-tooth that. But also, too, recognize and manage lifestyle inflation. So, for instance, food may increase every year. Rent is going to increase every year. But something else that is great, transportation increases every year. I know it damn sure increases every year in New York. They always raising the price. Netflix increases every year if you're a streamer. You know, these utility bills are not fixed. They do fluctuate. So thinking about those things, anticipating those things, and cushioning those budgets so that you're keeping that in mind for your livelihood. Three, know the difference between a need and a want. I think I was touching on this earlier, but also spending accordingly based off a need versus a want. A need, life or death, that's a need. You know, personal hygiene things, toothbrush, you know, toothpaste, soap, deodorant, those are needs that feel like you need, you know, a roof over your head to lay your head down, food, you know, to nourish your body. I don't, you know, going to get a cocktail, I know it feels like a need, but it's really a want at times. And so is brunch, and so is eating out all the time. And so you really have to, like, draw a tough line of what a want is and a need, and really understand that this sacrifice that you're making right now is for the long term better good of your financial health. Doesn't mean that you can't treat yourself, doesn't mean that you can't go out and have a cocktail every now and then, or go out and eat out every now and then if you can afford it. But if you cannot afford it, sis, and you about to say, oh, I'm going to go out and do brunch and I'm going to charge it to my credit card, unless you are physically paying that credit card off as soon as that paycheck hits, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Like, just don't. Get you a box of OJ. Get you a little champagne bottle for like $9.99 at the corner liquor store. Get your own mimosas at home. Make your own little brunch and call it a day. There are workarounds to these things. And, like, it's nothing wrong with telling a friend, I'll get out with you for a cup of coffee or tea versus a cocktail, right? Like, think about the pricing in those things. Or come over for brunch. I'll cook. You bring the bottle. Like, I'm just saying, like, there are workarounds to save money. The other thing is to start saving early. So this is point four, start saving early. I have a tough time saving and paying off debt. I don't know if anyone else is in my situation, but, like, it's just like if I put money into my savings and then I'm like, damn, but I could be putting that money and paying off my debt because I keep seeing this debt go up. And I keep seeing these interest rates and I keep seeing all these, you know, things that keep just accumulating when it comes to my credit card debt. But I'm just like, you know what? I have to save, right? Because in an event that layoffs happen, something is to happen, I need to have at least 3 months of rent saved up, at least, in an emergency fund put away. That don't even tap into my savings, just in an emergency fund. Then I need to have savings for the rainy, rainy, rainy days, right? When it's a drought and, you know, jobs are not coming or hiring is not coming as easily. I need to make sure that I'm covered. So save as much as possible. I know that I can't do both, but my plan is to really aggressively save this year because I know that I am going to live on my own. I am claiming it. I'm going into 30, living on my own. And then lastly, I already touched on this just now, but build and maintain your emergency fund. Like, it is important. Like, layoffs are happening. People, you know, government shutdowns are happening. Like, there are a lot of people who are not, you know, getting paychecks. So making sure that you are planning for, I don't want to say the worst, because, like, of course, like, I don't want to sound like negative, but I'm saying that if you plan for the worst scenario, you at least are making sure that you're taking care of yourself, right, and your livelihood. You make sure you have a roof over your head, food on the table, and a place to lay your head. And so I cannot stress that enough. Like, at this point, 29, 28, or if you're in your early 20s, if you have a coin hitting right now, please save aggressively. It will help you tremendously in the long term. That is why a lot of people are shacking up, because coins is not aligning. You want to make sure you have your stuff in order so that you meet someone who aligns with you, and y'all both have your stuff in order. Y'all both are financially savvy. Y'all both are financially responsible. So these are all things to keep in mind. And even talking about financial health and financial planning. So if you have a goal, say you recently got engaged and you're planning a wedding, one of the companies that I love is Zola. They're a wedding company that will do anything for love, and they're reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the most happiest moments in couples' lives even happier. So Zola, in a nutshell, takes the stress out of wedding planning for free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, and affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. You see what I'm saying? Free coins save. You can start with a free wedding website. It's so easy and takes just a few minutes to set up. Over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from that fits any couple style and every type of wedding. And if you think about it, right, everybody wants to tell that story of how you met and, like, planning for the wedding and what to look forward to. So you can literally put whatever you want that's going to personalize it for you and your significant other. You can put your Zola registry on your wedding website so that guests can get all the details they need and buy your wedding gift in one convenient and beautiful place. And then the guests love free shipping and returns, price matching, and more. Like, who, again, save a coin? Again, financial. Like, this is perfect. Who doesn't love that, right? Zola just makes registering for newlywed life so easy. And if, when you're getting married, depending on if you're in your early 20s or in your late 20s or going into your 30s, you want to make sure that you're finding ways where you can cut costs, right, when you're planning your wedding. And this is, like, an awesome opportunity to do that. And plus, like, they have the best completion discount, 20% off remaining gifts on your registry starting right after your big day. So, like, hello, save. Zola is the company for you. So for me, even just navigating the site, it's truly easy. You're able to really just, it's drawn in by all the beautiful designs. I'm personally not engaged, but hey, you know, Zola is at the top of my mind for when my future fiance proposes and we need to have a site where we come up with all the details that we want to send our guests to. So it's perfect. I definitely would recommend it to any of my friends as they're planning their weddings this year. Of course, we're right around the corner from Valentine's Day. So sis, some of y'all about to get y'all rings. This is the place to go. Zola is the perfect spot for you to plan your wedding. And the great thing for any of my podcast guests that are listening that are engaged, that are planning weddings this year, and you're thinking about where to start. Well, my friends, I have a special offer for you, for all of my listeners who are engaged and planning a wedding for 2019. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/fearless. Again, zola.com/fearless. I promise you, it will help you tremendously. There's so many planning features on the site. It's free. Who doesn't want free wedding website when you're thinking about planning a wedding with all the other costs? And you can build your dream registry and have your registry right on your wedding website. So all in one place. You can't get no better than that. So to my lovers that are planning to tie the knot this year, I hope this helps you tremendously. Don't forget to visit Zola.com. And with that being said, we're going to get back into the top five ways to improve your financial health. So make sure you're taking notes, because once again, this is all about saving a coin. Okay, so I went through the five ways to improve your financial health. And I know that I said like save, build, and maintain your emergency fund, know your net worth, but I want to give you the tools to be great, right? We all want to be great. So here are the things that I would say to do to get towards your financial goals. One, print out all your bank statements, highlight, see the areas where you're spending a lot, and be mindful of that and set budgets against those areas so that you're not exceeding spending, right? In your want areas versus your needs. Two, look at your monthly budget. See where your money is going to. Every dollar. I know that's tedious, but you want to know where your money is going out every month. You want to see how is that hitting your overall monthly income and whether you're in your 30 to 35% range or if you're spending more, and where can you cut in order to get yourself back down to that 30 to 35 safe range of living expenses so that you can save, so that you can put money into your emergency fund, so that you can put money into your retirement, your 401k. Three, change. People think that like, oh, I got a penny, I'm going to throw this away. Change adds up, okay? Every coin, instead of throwing it away, save it. The piggy bank style. This is what I'm going to call it. You know, I save my coins, literally. Like, you never know when you need to cash in a couple of coins for a couple of bills, you know, and that accumulates to a whole bag that you didn't know. And by bag, I mean, you know, bag of money. So save all of the loose change that you have over the year. That's some extra funds that you don't even know that you can add on top to your savings, right? When you get that tax refund, this is three. I think this is three. If not three, then it's four. When you get that tax refund and when it hits, please don't spend it. Please save it. Like, I understand now if you're putting your tax refund towards your debt and it's going to put a huge dent in your debt where it cuts it down. Okay. Maybe that's a smart strategy. You know, I'm not a, you know, end all be all financial expert. This is just me coming from my plan and what's worked for me. But, you know, don't spend it. Save it. That's the best way to go. It's helping you think about all the money that you've been putting into cutting your debt down at the beginning of the year when you get that tax refund. It's just a way to add to that cushion of that emergency fund or that savings so that you know, like, okay, you have a little starter money to continue to save and build upon that. And then five, I will say that when you go out on the weekends, take cash. I know we are a credit card, swipe a Visa, debit card, Venmo type of, you know, electronic technology age of how we spend money and pay for things. But I would highly recommend spending cash and setting yourself on a physical cash budget on the weekends. Okay, I'm going to go out. What's my budget for the weekend? $30 is $30. You got $30 to spend for this weekend. $40 is $40. You have $40 to spend for this weekend. Whatever it is, if you say, okay, I'm going to spend, let's say, $120 this month on going out, and I take $120 and I divide that by four, because it's four weekends, that's $30 a weekend. So that's $30 you should spend. Use it wisely. You know, you don't have to go out every day, but then you say $30 for a weekend. It seems unrealistic, but it's realistic. Like, it is very realistic. There's a lot of free museums that are a lot of free activities depending on where you're at. There's a lot of, you know, again, entertaining at home. It may cost you what, $10 to buy a bottle or go to someone's house and they have a game night. These are things where you're not spending as much, right? A bottle of wine for $10, something like that. So literally physically carry cash. When that cash is gone, that cash is gone. You ain't got it. That's how you physically, mentally have to think about the funds. They're gone. Don't have it anymore. Even though you know you have it, this is where you start to change those financial habits of swiping, right? And just saying, okay, here's the cash that I had. When the cash is gone, the cash is gone. I don't have it. And then that starts to trying to train yourself to think about how you're financially spending on things. Those would be my tips and tricks and what I do and how I think it will start to help build. But also, again, doing a financial audit is very important and understanding where you're spending so that you can now determine what is wants and needs and start to spend accordingly. I highly recommend some things that people recommended to me when I did my Instagram the other day. My Instagram stories is joining a financial gym. The financial gym is more so a organization that has financial advisors. So I think a lot of people who need assistance and can afford it, getting a financial advisor will help you kind of align and it can set up a financial plan for you to really start to move the needle on your goals and what it is that you envision for your life. I think the financial gym here in New York is amazing. If you're not in New York, I would definitely see where you can find an individual organization that has financial advisors to start helping you get on the right track when it comes to your finances, retirement, savings, emergency funds, and the things that you want to do in your life. Another thing that I will say is that if you are at a company and they have webinars and different little workshops where, or lunch and learns where your particular 401k company, for instance, like a Vanguard or Fidelity, are having workshops on how to like pay, save, and those different kind of topics that they do workshops on, I would definitely schedule time to attend it. You never know what you can learn by just taking that 1 hour and listening to them provide you guidance when it comes to savings and just overall how you should look at financial health. And then three, in order to get comfortable about your financial health and speaking about your money, it's a hard thing. It's a scary thing to tell people, you know, oh, I'm falling on financial hard times, or I ain't got it, sis, or I'm broke, or I can't right now, you know, my money a little funny, whatever the case may be. Don't be afraid to be honest about where you are with your financial health. Because once you start speaking it out loud, I'm not making what you're making, can't, you know, you start to, it honestly empowers you to know, like, I have a grasp of where I'm at and where I'm financially at, and I know that I want to thrive at no matter what level I'm at financially. So as I continue to climb and I continue to make more money, I want to make sure that I'm always keeping in mind the end goal of where I want my financial health to go. I think a lot of us are scared to just say how much we make and, you know, where we're at in our financial states, not understanding that by even just speaking it out, somebody can be like, oh, girl, I can help. My friend does this. You should, you know, give them a ring, give them a call. They can help you, you know, get your finances in order. Oh, you're trying to invest. Oh, you're trying to do these different things. I have a homeboy. You just never know who may be willing to help you in a certain regard. Now, when it comes to your money, I'm not saying you need to trust everybody with your money. I'm just saying you never know what resources may be out there to help you expound your knowledge within the financial realm to lead you to freedom, right? Financial freedom. So these are things and where I would definitely advise you to take a deeper look, take a deeper dive. I think I want all of us to have a great financial health. And I know that it's not something that's always talked about. And I know that you know, we're not experts. We're all trying to figure it out ourselves. This is what's worked for me. This is what I'm exercising to do. Financial exercising is like a muscle that I need to flex, get that my financial affairs in order. But I think what I'll do for season four is I'll have someone who's a financial expert come on and talk to you guys about how they got into the field of finance or being a certified public accountant, and why they, you know, what their tips and tricks are for like making sure that you budget, have a good financial health, and keeping in mind what you're spending on a monthly basis and like what your financial goals are. So be on the lookout for that for season four. Season four is coming out this March. I'm currently in the planning stages, so don't worry. I am right now pushing out episodes from guests who have been on the podcast. So if you're fairly new to this, don't you worry. There are a ton of great guests that have been on the show who have great journeys and stories. Again, this podcast is to share fearless stories and how we overcome our fears and in the pursuit of happiness. So with that being said, I'm wishing you guys nothing but love, light, and many blessings. It's not a Fearless Friday, but this is a special episode for you guys. And it's your girl, Fearless Kia. And I'm out.